I'm John Dragoon, Chief Marketing Officer for Novell, and I approve this message.
Welcome to Novell Open Audio, the podcast that connects the Novell user community to what's going on inside and around the Novell universe. I'm Ted Hager.
And I'm Aaron Quill.
And today we've got a special guest with us. We've got John Dragoon, our Chief Marketing Officer. John, your first time on Novell Open Audio. Welcome.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Aaron. Overdue, and I'm delighted to be here.
Let's start off with hot questions here, because we've got a bunch of them for you, and we want to find a few things out. Now, just to give the audience a little background, Chief Marketing Officer, this is an executive level that you play in the company, and you actually started in Novell when Ron Hovsepian came in. He brought you in as well, and Ron started over North America as the geo lead, or the senior vice president of sales, managing the entire North America, and quickly, Ron ascended up to all of sales, chief operating officer, and now CEO. You've gone along with him for a lot of that and risen up. We've known each other for a while now. Aaron's known you for a while now as well. So we've had a little bit of conversation. I want to get some of your background before Novell. So if you can, tell us the entire history of your whole career.
Sure. You have a minute and a half. Go.
A minute and a half. Go. I've been in this frenetic industry of ours since 1984. I am a upstate New York woodchuck, I like to refer to myself. So born of relatively modest means and made my way into this industry. Started with IBM in June of 84, actually in sales. Went to business school, decided I was going to do all these grand things, got a job with IBM in sales, said this isn't exactly why I went to business school, but I'll do this for a year or two.
You were in
so
sales?
Wait a second. Whoa, back up. 84, IBM. So that was probably 18 months, 2 years after they announced the PC. Was it PC-type sales you were doing, or was it mainframe stuff?
At the time, just everything. When you start with IBM, you were sort of a generalist, so you sold all of IBM's products to all customers. So you tried to represent the entire portfolio, so PCs to mainframes to everything in between.
And that was in the upstate New York area?
Was actually outside of Boston. So I have been outside of Boston for my entire career. So did that for 4 to 6 years as sales and sales management, and decided while that was an interesting job, my true love, in fact, was marketing, and made a transition with IBM into marketing. At the time, IBM decided, hey, let's get into this new thing called direct marketing. We got a great idea. Why don't we try to cover our channels with not just blue suits and white shirts and red ties, but through electronic means, through direct marketing, through the web, and created these direct marketing organizations around IBM, and I ran one of those. And then quickly, over the following 10 years with IBM, did various marketing assignments, which was finally had found my home. In 2000, it turns out Ron and I both left to join the internet craze, joined a company called Internet Capital Group, business-to-business exchanges, marketplaces, you may recall. I call that period of my life the credit, work experience, debit, wealth creation part of my life. But it was a great time and learned a lot about technology, and then came back into the commercial side of marketing and was the chief marketing officer for
it. You say you learned a lot about technology. Is that one of those cases where, like, you had to have some, actually?
Well, ICG's model was interesting in that as a holding company, they were in the venture capital business, but they also brought in functional executives who actually ran things to provide value add to their companies. My expertise was in marketing and sales and that. And so we actually weren't just financiers, but actually practitioners that helped these partner companies try to grow and prosper. Yeah, and so after ICG, I went to our technology group. ATG was a company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I became their chief marketing officer. They're best known for their e-commerce sites. Big companies like Best Buy, American Airlines all run their websites off of that. And then I got a call from Ron a little over 3 years ago and said, hey, I just went to Novell. And I went, Novell, are they still around? And he goes, yeah, absolutely, they're around. And in fact, they're doing some interesting things, and I think you ought to come join me. And I've had the privilege of working with Ron both at IBM and Internet Capital Group, and said three times the charm, and landed here at Novell, and haven't looked back since then, and was lucky enough to be appointed chief marketing officer about 6 months ago after running the Americas marketing and then the whole global marketing, and now all of marketing on behalf of Novell.
So you've been around marketing for a while. What changes have you seen in technology marketing over the past couple of years?
I think there's a lot of changes. I think one of the critiques of technology marketing that's it's a fair critique is not rendering explicit in terms that people can understand exactly what technology does on behalf of the people who buy it, right? We tend to confuse, obfuscate, make complex, and a good marketeer in technology ought to render the complex simple and consumable. So a lot of the changes over the last couple of years, I think, are to try to focus the conversation and make it simple for people who have to make decisions every day about what technologies to buy and deploy in their business.
How's that apply here at Novell?
I think Novell is a target-rich environment in that regard, in that we have got lots of products that do lots of things, and the marketing challenge is to take all those things, simplify them, and try to tell people why they should care, why Novell is relevant, what problems we solve for them, and how.
And when you think about it, that's really been the problem that Novell's always had, is we've always built very cool, very technical products that are just, on an engineering side, very, very amazing. We just can't tell the story and really explain to people how to use them and what they can do with them.
Yeah, it used to be a joke, actually, in the Novell field about iChain, because we'd put up these big charts and say, that's the latest iChain architectural chart of what the product does. And there was still all the head scratching and things about that. It's relevant there. In fact, I'm going to jump ahead a question here, because Novell's pretty renowned for our marketing. In fact, we're kind of legendary for our marketing, but not necessarily in a good way, more of like in the Bigfoot way. Some people have seen it, and what they've seen was scary. So with that kind of reputation out there in the industry, you're coming into a pretty big job, and some people would say, I wouldn't wish that on somebody. So why would you sign up for this job, this chief marketing officer job that you're pretty much the focus of attention for fixing Novell marketing, making it so that it tells these stories about our products in the way that people can understand?
That's a fair question. The short answer is because I think the raw materials of what I have to work with as a marketeer are outstanding. A lot of people would be very envious of saying, geez, I wish I had the raw materials they did, because all I need to do is add marketing and poof, magic will happen.
You mean like the products are the raw materials?
Exactly. So I think Novell's 23-year history, the earmark of that is innovation and product leadership. And I think the frustration that you hear from people who have critiques of Novell marketing, some fair and some I don't think overly fair, are that, gosh, you have these great products, these great solutions, these very loyal customers. Don't screw it up with poor marketing. Right, so we suffer from a halo effect, some deserved, some not deserved, frankly, that says Novell's marketing, which is very public, ought to catch up to the rest of the company.
What do you see us doing about that? What will be some of your immediate actions that you want to do?
I think there's two things, Ted. I think there's a set of internal actions around restoring the confidence of marketing within Novell, with the salespeople, with the engineers, with our partner people, and getting that confidence. I think the second thing is with the people who buy our products, and as importantly, the people who we'd like to buy our products and solutions, and that is clarifying the message. What does Novell stand for, right? And in doing that, you're not only declaring what you stand for, but what you don't stand for. And along the way, I think making the message simple and consumable is the challenge that we have to take.
So people who are watching Novell, what should they watch for to see some of these changes that you're looking at bringing about?
Sure. Aaron, I think there's three things that I focus on from a marketing perspective in terms of an accountability. Generating awareness, that's really a brand set of responsibilities, positioning Novell's brand in the marketplace and what it stands for. The second thing is around demand generation, generating sufficient demand for our products. And the third one is sales enablement and enabling the field. I think what people should look for is a consistent brand from Novell that reflects our core values and what we contribute to the community. For us, that's sort of a twofold thing around a set of operating systems based on Linux and open source and a set of security and management software that helps manage mixed environments. At a top level, that's what we want. So to the extent that we can get that message out in the marketplace, it's clear and that people can identify with it, would be one of the marks that we should hope to leave.
One of the things that comes to my mind on this is that a big change that's happened. We were talking about changes a little while ago in mm-hmm. the industry. And social media has really become one of those things. I mean, here we're doing a podcast right now, but blogs are also one of the big things. And you blog. You've got a presence on Novell.com. Mm-hmm. How do you see these things playing into the overall Novell marketing strategy? What should the people who are more intimately interested in what Novell's doing than just, you know, that introductory level, how can they look at these kind of things?
I think they play a huge role. Frankly, I think we're catching up a little bit. I think the people who buy technology products at large are out ahead of us. And they've already shifted from the way they consume information 5 or 10 years ago to the way they consume and make decisions today. Now, it used to be websites and direct sales forces and relying on the analyst community and others. And today, it's a much more of a community-driven thing, much more viral, much more word of mouth, much more reputation-driven. And so in marketing parlance, you've got to go fish where the fish are. And for us, that's using things like podcasts, like viral campaigns, like blogs, like our communities and developer communities to get the word out. And frankly, we do a good job on some of those, but others we're relatively immature in our use of that. We've got to be even more aggressive in that.
One of the things that I've noticed about these new medias that I like is it gives you much more of a personal touch with the products. You know, rather than me writing a paper and having to go get it approved and say, you know, that's the correct, you know, everything and that, I can just speak what's truly on my mind.
People get to know the human side of a company through this.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot more transparency too, and I think that's healthy. I think Novell a few years ago may have lost its way on that. We were overly opaque, right? And I think it's healthy to have a transparency, to admit what you're good at, to admit what you're not good at, to admit what you're working on, to get feedback from people on what's good or not. And my blog is pretty modest, but frankly, there's been a lot of feedback, not all of it always positive, but to the extent that you respond to that, you acknowledge it, and you enter into a dialogue, I think that rises the tides of the conversations in a very healthy way. All of it's been healthy.
Are there other areas that you think that Novell may not be transparent enough that you want to see us open up more in?
I think the current executive team, starting from Ron on down, and frankly, all the employees, they have a newfound sort of empowerment around it's okay to be transparent, it's okay to be open, it's okay to admit your faults, we don't have to have the answers to everything. It's okay to be direct. I mean, you know, as I say, teamwork isn't the absence of conflict. And just because we disagree doesn't mean, you know, we can't sort of mutually go forward on things. So I get a lot of feedback on, everybody has an opinion on marketing. It's right out there, everyone's an expert, and I accept that. It doesn't mean that all the feedback we get we ought to do, but we ought to continue to listen for it and be open to that kind of thing.
And not just listen in those cases. I should hope also, because I notice you do this on your blog, it's also about listening and responding and actually giving your thoughts back. And even when you don't agree with that person who says, you need to do this, you need to do that, responding back rather than just sort of having it go silent, go dead.
Yeah. There is a tendency, and I'll confess to this at times, to be defensive. This is a profession that, if you would allow yourself to one being defensive about it, because everyone has opinions about it, right? So I think it's a good reminder to me that when people are taking the time to share their passions about the good and the bad, that's a good thing. You know, once that stops, people have moved from passion to indifference, and indifference is the enemy of innovation and progress.
One of the things that I've noticed working with both Ron and yourself is this whole openness isn't just lip service, and it's not like, all right, from now on, the company is going to say that we're open. A couple of years ago, when Ron first joined us, and he was over on the sales side, I was actually on the engineering side. Yep. I had no idea who he was, and I was sitting at BrainShare, and I'm sitting there with a friend of mine, and we're having a technical talk. Ron comes up, sits down, joins in on the conversation. It wasn't until he left that I found out who he was, and it was like, that was so cool. I had no clue that was an executive, and I was just so excited now that he's our CEO, because he really is just an honest person. And just somebody you can sit down and really talk to.
Yeah, well, you can't fool customers, and his genuineness is real. It's what you see is what you get, because the market's pretty efficient. If it wasn't, you know, the viralness of that would expose itself and people would discover it for what it is.
So that means we're looking at you then on this, because I actually got a Stop the Press's email when Ron was appointed CEO. Of one of our avid listeners, a guy named John Strickland, sent me an email saying, Stop the Press's, if there was ever a time to hold whatever you're working on and get somebody on Novell Open Audio, it's now. And that was when Ron ascended to CEO. They said, get him on the show. Get an interview.
Guarantee you and Aaron and your listeners, Ted, that we will get Ron on this program.
Bring me the head of Ron Hovsepian.
No, he will absolutely do this.
And, actually, you know what? This is a great opportunity. Since we've got John in the room, I got to ask you the question that Ted and I get nailed with all the time, which is, you know, Ted and I are out, we're in the communities, we're at BrainShare, we're all at all these different events talking. And the question that always comes up is, when's Novell going to have a TV commercial? You know, we did have that cool David Bowie one years ago, but Ted and I make up our own answers.
I heard about the fish one, too.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was David Bowie one.
There
was a Firefly one, and then there was also a fish one, both with David Bowie changes playing in the background. But What's your take on that? Are we ever going to do TV commercials?
I would never say never. I would remind you and our listeners that everything's balanced. So the public part of marketing tends to be advertising, public relations. There are a lot of these other elements that add value that are sort of one or two layers beneath the surface that we don't get credit for.
Much more of the analytical thing.
Enabling our channels, enabling our partners to succeed, enabling our direct sales force to succeed, doing a lot of demand generation.
Predicting markets with products as well, which we've always been very good at.
Exactly.
Sometimes too good at, sometimes shooting out ahead.
So we have a relatively modest, we have a healthy marketing budget, but a relatively modest advertising budget, most of which is done in print. But even that, Aaron, we're shifting to the new media of online and viral and webcasts and other things, right? So in line with the industry. In fact, we're more aggressive in our advertising, moving away from print into mostly online and web. The TV part, very expensive. Need to do a lot of repetitions to get the return. I'm hopeful that Novell continues to grow and succeed so at some point we can do that. I know that's people want to see that. They want help in selling Novell to their constituents. Part of that help is a public presence and awareness that they don't have to explain to people who Novell is and why. But for the time being, the near term, we probably won't be doing some because of its expense over some of these other media we can exercise.
And that's kind of along the lines of what our answer is usually in the communities out there as we talk to people. It's usually we can choose to do a few commercials on television or something like that and not hit a targeted audience very well, or we can be a lot more effective with targeted messages, getting into the right media, whether it be magazines or what, getting into that kind of thing, and we can do a lot more.
Yeah, a lot of this is a perception. I mean, take the public relations piece and press. It might surprise your listeners to know that we track this pretty aggressively in the last 6 months. Our hits for the categories we cover, security, identity, systems management, Linux, open source, we are in the top two of the people we compete against in each one of those categories in press mentions. And in fact, a company like Red Hat, we're 3-1 in them in press mentions just in the Linux category. And so sometimes the perception becomes reality. And so part of my job is reinforcing through objective data exactly how much we are succeeding or failing in certain categories.
The stuff that we've done, the investments on desktop stuff, which is part of the predictive marketing I was talking about, that stuff has gotten us way out there. It's gotten a lot of mention for us.
Yeah.
It's been very nice.
Yep. I mean, the success on the SUSE Linux one, as you mentioned, Ted, you've been involved in that. In the brief 70 days that it's been out since launch, you know, when you consider 7 million page views on novell.com/Linux, that's a lot of eyeballs. And since we only have 4,700 Novell employees, that means there's a whole lot of non-Novell people looking at that.
Or else they're clicking and clicking and clicking that refresh button.
Refresh.
Yeah. Well, that gives us a pretty good look at things. What do you see as maybe the big sweeping vision? What right now is the way that you tell people the kind of pithy statement about what Novell is? What does Novell do?
Yeah, I think the pithy statement ought to always begin with the customer in mind. And so for me, the pithy statement is Novell's focus on helping our customers manage costs, complexity, and risk in their environments. And in doing so, allow them to redirect their investments towards innovation and growth, right? So how do we do that? We do that in this broad category called infrastructure software, a two-pronged strategy, enterprise-class operating systems based on Linux and open source, and a set of security and management tools that help you manage this mixed stack. But I think if you go back and say, what do you help your customers do? Manage cost, manage complexity, manage risk, and in doing so allow for their own innovation and growth. That's a pretty good message.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up then. I think that's what we have to ask you today. Did you have anything to add on, John?
No, I just want to thank your listeners. I would encourage them to continue to express their opinions pro, for, and against, because we're listening. I know you and Aaron are listening, and they have a very receptive audience in here, and we want to succeed with them.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming by the studio, John.
Thanks, guys.
You can check out John's blog at novell.com. We'll link to that from this show's notes, and we'll also link to a couple other things about John from this program. Remember that you can rate this episode or any episode online by just going to our site, novell.com/openaudio. You can also suggest new topics that you'd like us to have on, and we apologize on this episode. We didn't get the notification that John was coming on this episode, so we didn't get any tough questions, but we will have you back, right, John?
Absolutely.
All right, so that's pretty much all that we have for you this time. Remember that Novell Open Audio is a production of Novell Users International in conjunction with Novell Incorporated. All of our listening content is directed by our listening community. And that's it for this time. We'll see you next time.